as we move to our next song from the squalor of a borrowed stable. Our hymn for the month, it's a hymn that reminds us of the Christmas story, the birth narrative, but also takes us right through to Easter and the story of death and resurrection and ascension. So we can sing together and praise this, and it might even reappear as a hymn for the month around Easter, from the squalor of a borrowed stable. Heavenly Father, we give you the glory. We give you all the glory. And Lord, we thank you. And in this time, in this place, we confess to you all the things that we've done that take us away from you, that create barriers between you and ourselves. And so, Lord, as we worship, as we praise you, we seek your forgiveness. Release us through your Holy Spirit to fully worship you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For you, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from exactly the time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They escaped to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and when warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called the Nazarene. Here ends the lesson.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading. To him be all glory, power, and honour. You know, one of the things for me in this whole chapter, and when also when we look at chapter 1 as well, is that on various occasions God communicated with Joseph and with people in a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared. And when we look today at our own communication, our own means of communication, I remember when I joined the police in 1980, we had just moved from the two-piece radio, the receiver and the transmitter, which were held together with a bit of wire, to a radio that had two square batteries in the bottom of it. And it could be easily upset if you put the batteries in the wrong way. But you had one of these radios which didn't really work that well, but that was communication at the time. When I left, each officer has their personal handset, which works as a radio and a phone, and does much more. But that's all I'll say about that. But that's the whole thing. I had one of these radios, phones,
I had a work phone, mobile phone, I had a personal mobile phone, and I had a pager. There was no freedom. There was no escape. But that's the way our communications have gone over the years. And now we're almost at information overload. Realise that this morning I've put up 3 or 4 pieces onto both Facebook pages for Ardeer and for Livingston, just with reminders for the service. We've put up a couple of photographs in preparation and at the start of the service. So even as we just mill about, these things are possible. And it, you know, we have a choice. We do have a choice. We can either get used to it, we either get accustomed to it, or we don't engage in it at all. And there's many people, one particularly very close to me, who carries a mobile phone, but it's switched off most of the time, or it's run out of charge. So you try and phone her to see where she is in the middle of Glasgow, and it's no use. So you either get accustomed to it, work at it, or you disengage. That's how it happens. That's what we do. And then we also have all this social media. You know, nothing's sacred now, but we've got social media, we've got website, we've got WhatsApp, we've got Snapchat, we've got Instagram, we've websites, and it goes on and on and on and on. I manage Facebook, I can kind of manage WhatsApp, I'm lost on Instagram, I wouldn't know how to tweet, I don't know why I want to tweet on Twitter, but it's all there, we could use it if we wanted to, we could engage in all that. And almost to the point now, the world has looked at all this technology, and this is a way of communication. We now speak about a letter as snail mail. But you can post something first class tomorrow, well, maybe not, it's a public holiday, but on a working day, and it'll reach someplace the day or the day after. That's not really snail mail, but it is compared to emails. So there we are, we're far more exposed, we're far more available if we actually give in to all that. But that's the way of the world, that's the busyness. You know, this brings about a busyness. Maybe this is a good time to say that after 5 o'clock on a Saturday, don't bother emailing me if it's important, because I switch off my email 5 o'clock on a Saturday, because my head's starting to think about Sunday morning and I don't want to know about particularly work emails. So I switch off. So if you need me on a Saturday evening, it's going to have to be the phone. But this is, we get pulled into a busyness. We get pulled into a busyness, which is actually a big business. The money that's going into all these communication companies, the money we spend paying for mobiles, for broadband and all the rest of it, it's big business. You know, in the time we're looking at in the scriptures there, if you wanted somebody to get a message, you sent a messenger. Somebody had to physically go and deliver the message. So-and-so says whatever. It had to be done, that kind of word of mouth thing. That delivery. And then God has his own ways of communicating. Yeah, he's got messengers. We call them angels. We have word of mouth. We have the word. The people knew their scriptures before they were written down. They learnt them, they knew them. That was the only way to communicate. That was the only way to share them, was to know all the scriptures and be able to repeat them, because that's how you learnt then. God would send prophets, another kind of messenger.
He would send a prophet to deliver a specific message. And he would use people. He would use people. But you know, even then, there was people not listening. People not paying attention, not looking at what was going on. So even in the communication at the time, while it was word of mouth, and people seeing things and being there, they still didn't believe. And if we look at our story, at the reading this morning with the Magi, Herod calls for the death of all the boys 2 years and under. For that's the time the communication has taken. You imagine that. We complain about a letter not getting there in a couple of days' time. And actually, there's 2 years. But God knew these things. God resolved them in this story. As we see the readings, he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus changes our communication for us. He brings in a new way of learning. And what we have to do is just look at what he says and does as you go through. We call it discipleship. Spending time under the teacher, with the teacher. Spending time learning what he does. Gaining confidence and seeing what he does for us to do it as well. This is the change that God's bringing in. He's bringing salvation, redemption through Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Word made flesh, brings a different way in. And you know, when he was doing that then, that wasn't for the moment. That was for eternity. That was for all time. And all these ways of God are still valid. They still happen. The problem is, people aren't listening. Here's words from a commentator. The ancient world would have no doubt that God sent messages to men and women in dreams. The ancient world would have no doubt that God sent messages to men and women in dreams. That's all he says about it. It's all he writes about Matthew 2 in terms of the angel of the Lord appeared to, or having been warned in a dream. That's all he says. The ancient world would have no doubt that God sent messages to men and women in dreams. I have to tell you, I have no doubt that God still sends messages to people in dreams. God has these ways of communication and he has not changed them. We don't always see them. And that's what that discipleship thing does for us. It allows us to spend time and to learn about God and learn about the Word and learn who he is. And if we look and begin to look at what's coming ahead for us, I'm going to say to you, discipleship is a big thing. On the 16th of January, I'm off to a conference for Path of Renewal. That's the start of us starting on Path of Renewal. Path of Renewal has been going for 2 years. And I started it in Dumfries at the very start of Path of Renewal. And I'm actually going, because I'm here now and we're all going on to Path of Renewal, I have to start again with new people. But I'm looking forward to that because I've learned a lot and met a lot of people I wouldn't have necessarily met, and I'm going to meet more. But it's about focusing on God, about discipleship, about taking that time, and for us all to learn that over the time. Path of Renewal is about mission and discipleship. That's the way it's kind of badged. But what I would want to say to you, Path of Renewal is about discipleship and mission. How do we know what to say to people
until we've done the discipleship and learned the confidence in the word to be able to say things and share with people. So as we start next year, that's where a starting point. This is an alternative way of doing worship, where we share together round tables, round food. You'll be delighted to know I've made a wee commitment. It'll not happen every week. Just four times in the year. Something different on the fifth Sundays. So that's the end of April, end of July, end of September, and end of December next year. So, something different. We've already had a couple of messy church. So, a continuation of that. And there was a wee whisper this morning, there's so much cereal left over, can we do a breakfast messy church? And why not? But that's another way of doing things. A lot of the elders will have this, and there's copies here if everyone wants to pick it up. I apologise, it's a bit small in print, but I can't find a way of making it bigger other than trying to photocopy it onto A3, and that might be too big. However, what it is the Bible Project, and it's the Bible in a year. Now, each day has its own readings. It's about a couple of chapters of a book every day, but it's split into different groupings and headings. And what I've done is I've gone through that, and every Sunday, then we'll be looking at the heading bit as I preach, and I'll pick out something from the week. I've picked out something from the week reading before, so we can go around that. Our discipleship group, which meets at Tuesday, we'll be looking at that as well and going back through that. So that bringing everything together. Please do take a copy, use it as a reading plan for scriptures, learn to just to sit and take time to read the scripture, and in some ways then there's a possibility that we're all reading the same bit of the Bible in the same week and thinking about it on the same Sunday. There's obviously summer missions, another way of connecting with people, with families, and that in Messy Church, connecting with families, starts to bring people together. Towards the end of October, the elders know this, I've mentioned this to elders, but looking at doing the Stevenson Bible along with the High Kirk, do a Bible week. So various speakers in, be it Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and on the Sunday we'll worship together and do an afternoon service, all three churches, to bring the Bible week together. That'll have different speakers and hopefully attract far further than just Stevenson, but that's another thing to be involved in mission and discipleship. Livingston have begun a stewardship campaign. So a time for in the next few months just to take stock of what's going on in Livingston and what will move ahead. And there'll be more information about that later. All I'm doing is flagging up that's coming. Obviously down at Ardeer there's the buildings project to sort out and finish off, and that's going to move on as well. And in amongst all that, we have to get our social media together and consistent so that everything we're looking at looks kind of around the place and it looks accurate, up-to-date, relevant and focused. So that's all about communication, about how we share things and how we pull things together. I really don't know, apart from the things I've put on paper. I don't know how next year's going to pan out. I don't know what Path of Renewal is going to look like. But actually, that's the exciting bit, that in prayer we can come before God and work through these things. And that's one of the things we need to establish as well, as prayer groups, looking at managing to pray for the churches, for the people, for the area. So there's things for people to share in. These are the things of communication. God communicates in dreams and in very many different ways. But we have to take a responsibility to be able to communicate what it is that we are doing in His name, and sharing that, and sharing His blessings and His love with His people. Amen. And our offering will now be uplifted. Dedicate our offerings and dedicate ourselves. We think about others as well. And we remember the prayers that are on both prayer trees here and in our. We also remember God's faithfulness. As things of joy, we know that God is here for us, was in the past, is now, and will be forevermore. And that's something for us to rejoice in. From the Drossin Presbytery Prayer Diary, we're praying for Kilburnie St. Columba's Church, the Reverend Fiona Ross. And as she sits on the Property Committee at Presbytery, we also pray for the Property Committee and the convener, Roy Kelso. Turn to our things of concern, and let's just remember those for whom Christmas and New Year is a difficult time. And even in the papers, we've seen of a number of deaths and murders that have happened over the week. So let's pray for those who are grieving, those who are mourning, those who are just feeling lonely this Christmas, to quote a song. Pray for those who've been caught up in some of the dreadful weather conditions that we've seen, and hopefully Storm Dylan is dying down now. But these things catch us all. So pray for those who are in the hardest circumstances of these. And we pray for this world, where we see the conflicts and tensions, protests in Iran, and all the stuff that's going on. So let's just take a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you for all the things that have happened during the year and your presence throughout all of them. We pray for each person here, for those who are on our left, for those who are on our right, who are sitting behind us or in front of us or around us. We pray. We remember also with thanks those who have prepared the hall and set everything up and donated the food, brought the food, and Lord, we thank you for this time. We present our offerings before you, Father. A token of all the things that you've given us, we give back to you. And we present ourselves. at the end of the year to dedicate ourselves to you once more into a new year. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we pray that you would remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's continue to sit. We've got three worship songs again. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine. Hark, the herald angels sing. And we'll finish with Joy to the World. The Lord has come. As we continue to praise his holy name, we sing together, Hark, the herald angels sing. Father, as you send us from this place, may our worship have lifted our hearts and our spirits. May we go to share the glory of the newborn King with your world, to share the love that you have and the love that he has for us with the world, that we would be his light, his torch, his beacon in this place. Amen. Joy to the world. Taking you into a really uncomfortable place, maybe. I'm going to say the grace together, but as we do that, let's look around and engage each other as we wish the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ on each other. So, eyes open, looking around, seeing other people. I know it might be uncomfortable, but let's share that grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. Two things more. First of all, Tesco's very kindly donated the rolls. So they're now in bags of two. If you wish to take a bag or a two bags away, please do, because they'll not get eaten here unless the mice get them. And the other thing is, wherever you are this evening, however you are, have a very happy New Year.